Which way should I bend it? To my mouth. This way? You're leaving me on the stage by myself with technology. I haven't even started speaking. My wife is already correcting me. Yes, dear. Okay. How do I look? Do I look around? Is this better now? Okay. Can I start? It's all right. Okay, great. Good morning, everybody. It's an amazing delight to see so many of you on a Wednesday morning. I am stunned. I didn't realize so many people could get off work in South Africa. I didn't realize the unemployment was this bad. But yeah, we got plenty of jobs over in Hong Kong. Well, we're here to enjoy God and one another. And the easiest way to do that is to, if you're an introvert like me, just, I am an introvert, just pretend you're an extrovert and no one knows the difference, all right? And the best way to enjoy yourself is not to be self-conscious, but to be Christ-conscious and to look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. You know, if you look at yourself and introspect yourself, it's a very depressing journey. Now, I know the Bible says, "Search me, O Lord, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the pathways of righteousness." But David invited the Lord to search him. He didn't invite himself to search himself. Because if you go introvertedly inside to investigate yourself, you're going to get very depressed. And if you go inside yourself with the law, you're going to get suicidal. But if the Lord of grace and kindness has declared you righteous forever, and you are his dearly beloved, the apple of his eye, you're more precious to him, you are his joy, you're his crown, you're his bride, you're his righteous sons and daughters of God. When he searches you, he fills you with a fragrance and a perfume of kindness, and he affirms you, and he just gives you grace to fly the dreams he's put in your heart. So let the Lord search you, and don't search yourself. Let's just be Christ conscious today and live in the freedom of not looking at ourselves. Corrie ten Boom says, "When I look at the world, I'm depressed. When I look at myself, I'm unimpressed. But when I look at Jesus, I am so impressed." And we are to look at him and keep our eyes fixed on him. Thanks, Steve and Janet, so much for your venue. This is a phenomenal venue. It's just so right. And of course, all the guys behind the scenes have been working, and it's an amazing thing to host a conference. We've done a few recently, and it is a real joy, but it's a challenge. And just so that you know, we had planned to come and do a Increased Glory conference last year this time. And there's just a group of friends that we're working together. I don't know what we can call it. We call ourselves the Nobodies. But we're kind of just an alliance of friends who recognize each other's gifts and are becoming more and more affectionate to one another and enjoying each other. And we just felt last year wasn't a good time to come into KwaZulu-Natal. We didn't feel it would be helpful. We thought we need to put weight a bit. And we went to Cape Town. But this year, we just felt this is the time to come in and do an Increased Glory conference in Pinetown. And we just sensed such a rightness about it. And at first, we were planning on hiring a 5,000-seater dome in Durban and really advertising and harping it up and going for the multiple thousands. But it just didn't sit right with us. Because the question at the end of the day is, when all the dust is settled and the excitement's gone, what has been built? What has been established? For me, Jesus died for the church. He died to see a glorious church, which is the local church in the earth. And at the end of the day, it's really about strengthening local churches. If I want to go to the top of Mount Everest, I don't start at the bottom and just climb the way. I have to build bases each step towards the top. If we're going to invade the nations, if we're going to invade Beijing, we have to build bases towards that that can resource, train and equip and release more and more people out. If you've been disillusioned by church, it's legalism. You're not reacting to grace. You're reacting to the control spirit, to witchcraft, to manipulation. But don't build a grid through which you try to perceive what church is about, that is no longer a theological grid, it's now a grid of sentimentality, or even almost new agey humanism, where you're trying to build a grid that can protect you from any future pain that the church gave you or leaders gave you. There is no protection from future pain. I promise you, with absolute guarantee, if you're going to be on the front line of Christ, you are going to be hurt over and over and over again. So get used to it and learn from it and use pain to precipitate you further into the kingdom of heaven. We are not walking around limping wounded. We're not interested in inner healing or outer healing. We're interested in one thing, that the nations will honor the King who is worthy to be praised and worshipped. And as we proceed in our journey, we get inner healed and we get outer healed. But we are not self-consumed, self-centered bigots. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are ambassadors of the highest government in the universe, authorized to activate and advance the kingdom of heaven on earth and topple illegitimate, illegal governments that have usurped the righteous one's territory. Can you say amen? And God is not going to come from heaven with angels or laser beams. He is going to manifest His multifaceted wisdom through the church to the powers and authorities. And you and I happen to be it. Amen. So if you've been hurt, just stop looking for some kind of formula that will protect you. The only thing that will insulate you from hurt is that you get a big picture of God, that He's able to turn all things together for good, that those who love Him are called according to His purpose. What the enemy meant for evil, God has meant it for our good. And we've got to get a theology for the local church that is honorable, that we see the local church as something magnificent in the earth. All right. Now, everything you see called the church is not the church. There is a church in the book of Acts that is the revelation of the baby church, and now we are building to the climax of the full stature, of the full measure of Jesus Christ at the end of the age. The church in the end of the age, the glorious church, is going to be full of grace, full of love, full of freedom, full of signs, wonders, and miracles. Raising the dead will be commonplace. Seeing the blind see and the deaf hear and the lame walk will be ordinary, commonplace, ordinary miracles happening all week, every day, and every day people being saved and added to the church. And no one will just dare join the church like it's a club. All will be in awe at the wonder of the living God that is in the midst of His people. The church will be so full of glory that as they 500 meters away from the church, they will jump out of their wheelchairs. This is coming and it's right here now. It is right here now. And there's been a shaking and it's a good shaking. And so the reason why we didn't want to come and just do a big 5,000 seater, big hop up thing, because at the end of the day, if you haven't built relationally and if you haven't connected with real people that you can work into the future and keep helping their churches to thrive and be healthy, I don't want in it anymore. I'm too old now. I'm too old to invest my life into ropes of sand that the wind blows away. I want to invest my life into people who are not arguing about the grace message anymore. They say, give it to me. I've had enough of religious control. I've had enough of unhappiness. I've had enough of serving religious systems where you pour everything in and they just keep raping you more. I've had enough of that. But I can never have enough of freedom. Hearing the voice of the lovely one. Hearing His beautiful voice every day. Feeling His tangible presence every day. I can't have enough of just seeing the kingdom advance and meeting delightful, stinking, unholy, unrighteous, unpious, scabenga sinners and seeing the grace of God change them. If the church wants to be the church that protects itself from pain or institutionalized, and they don't want God to turn up and manifest and throw people around the room and stick them to the floor and get people out of wheelchairs and cause demons to come out with shrieking. If there's a church that doesn't want God to turn up because God's embarrassing because He thinks He owns the church. If they don't want God to turn up. If they think they can grow church faster without God, then they're not growing it with God. They're growing it with human effort. They're going with cerebral Bible information, and they may even have the help of a few devils as well. The religious demons who love that. So I'm not interested in the religious institutional church. I am interested in the masses of people on their way to hell. 1,300,000,000 in China. of which 200 million are probably saved. That's 1,100,000,000. Majority of India is not saved. Majority of South Africa is not saved. Majority of the nations hardly know who Jesus is. And if the institutional church wants the introspection and analysis and endless inner healing and endless self-gratification, then let them have it. Let them have their party. But I'm interested in going everywhere of people that say, I want the theology of grace. Because I do not believe we're just in a move of the Spirit. We've had moves of the Spirit. Charismatic move, Pentecostal moves, most of them ended very, very sad. With more bondage than what they were before they started. I'm interested in a theological reformation that produces a sustainable signs and wonders and miracles revolution. We are not in a reformation. We are in a revolution. We are toppling governments of control in the earth. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hey, woman. Just be careful if you think it's just spirit, spirit, spirit. Everyone, there are many people afraid today of just, well, it's just spirit, spirit, spirit. We've got to have the word. Friends, people say, we don't want dry, 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 dry word. Now, listen, I'm not interested in, there's nothing dry about the revelation of God's new covenant word. It's full of life. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It is truth that sets free. And if you just have a move of power but no theological reformation, that power will go into weird new agey stuff. Weird stuff! Now, falling and being stuck to the roof and laughing and crying and being hysterically drunk, that's not weird, that is normal. Everything outside of that is abnormal. How do you know that, Rob? Well, when the church started, they were totally drunk. The birthing of the church, they came out drunk. Absolutely, staggeringly, absolutely drunk. And on that day, 3,000 people got saved. And the more the church sobered up, the more into error they went. So I do not say being absolutely hilariously happy in the joy of God is weird. No, I mean theological things. Weird ideas of truth. That is weird. And if we're going to keep the sustainability of a move of God, we have to have sound, clear theology. And we have to redeem the supernatural from the weirdos. From the glassy-eyed, irresponsible ones who've been through 20,000 divorces, and I'm not against people being divorced, but you know what I'm talking about, who've just been irresponsible with their entire lives, but they want to prophesy, they want a move of God. Friends, we are not looking for that kind of thing. We are looking for something that redeems the ridiculous, the weird. Are you worried about extremes? Not at all. I want to be more extreme. I'm just saying, let it be on a foundation of clear theology. And so we thought, now let's come to work with friends. And so we said, let's not advertise. This is just word of mouth. And it's about, there are more than 12 churches here, but there are 12 churches here that I am friends with personally on a real level, and they're friends with one another. And most of those 12 churches, if not all of them, have a majority of their members or a high level portion of their members here, and more will be here tonight. Now I promise you, at the end of four days, those churches will have been transitioned further into the glory. Can you say amen? So that in a year's time, we don't say, oh, we had that 5,000 conference. Where are the fruits? Where's the results? Oh, there's a few here and they all scattered all over. No, we can look at 12 churches that are getting an increase in signs and wonders, an increase of joy and freedom in their members. Increased confidence before God and before man, delivered from the fear of man, set free, and the lost being saved and added, and financially released into superabundance. Come on, can you say amen?
Amen?
So that's what this is about. Can I just boast a little bit quickly in the goodness of God? All right. As you know, we're in Hong Kong City Church International. We planted 5 years ago. We're working into different parts of China as well. We're working into a place called Nanning, a city in a province in China, where we have a lady from our church, Kit Ying, Hong Kong girl, Hong Kongese girl. And Glenn and I have been up to that, where she lives, number of times. We planted from Hong Kong into Nanning. She's got an orphanage there. And now she's also started an orphanage for AIDS children, children who inherited AIDS from their parents. And she's opening homes to care for them and getting mothers in to mother these homes. The government, the communist government, starting to support her. She's getting favor. We want to plant a church out of that. We're also working into Shenzhen, just across the border from Hong Kong, in a number of churches there. There's a new generation of underground churches arising. We want to throw off the legalism and the religion of a lot of underground church. I admire the underground church's zeal, but they need fathers. There's so much theological heresy and confusion, and it's not as glamorous as everyone thinks it is, the underground church. And I believe that the communist government is beginning to recognize Christians are good communists. Christians love the people of China, and Christians are some of their best citizens. And so they're realizing there are more Christians in China now that are card-carrying communists. There are over 200 million Christians. And they're realizing China is booming economically in the cities. It is so immoral, though. It's so amoral. There's chaos in China with amorality. And they're inviting Christians. I have a relationship with a top-level man in Hong Kong who's a lawyer and works with the government of Hong Kong. The communist government of China have invited him and welcomed him in. He's become a personal friend of mine. He's opening doors for us. And then recently, a door opened into Three Rivers, which is in the Guangdong province, where there's a lady, some of you know Candace from Glenridge. Candace, she's a warrior, and she's with us. And she came to Hong Kong believing that God was going to connect her to an Esther-like woman through which she would manifest the grace of God into China. And she came to one of our services. Candace was talking about her heart for China. A Chinese lady in Hong Kong came up to her straight after the service, said, "My name is Esther. There's a place called Three Rivers, 7 hours drive from the border of Hong Kong, and I've got a project going there. Would you send a team up?" I spoke to Candace, said, "Sign nothing, get involved with nothing, just go and have a look." So we sent an apostolic team into deep 7 hours into China, 4 South African girls and 1 Hong Kong Chinese girl, our apostolic team. We've taught them they can do everything men can do. They believe us. We said, go in there and think governmentally. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. All of us hardcore NCMI guys had a connecting moment there. But anyway, for the times they are changing. Anyway, they went in and they led 100 people to Christ. They had 35 notable miracles. One woman had walked for 3 years, came out of her wheelchair and walked. We have Annalene. She's one of the warriors. Where are you, Annalene? There she is. She went. She's one of the South African chicks that went into this situation. So I can't exaggerate because she's here. A communist government official saw a leg grow by 3 inches, and then one of them was healed, so he got saved. And then 2 weeks ago, we sent in a team led by my son Ryan to see if it was all going well. And all the people that were healed are still healed. The crippled lady is still walking down the hill to church now. There's a potential of millions of dollars to be invested, and we could help steward the gospel with certain sources from around the world where we can build schools and hospitals and raise the level of this rural area in China. But the main thing is preaching the gospel. Anyway, the Sunday that our team came back and we're reporting on the miracles and the salvations, there was a family that had heard about Esther and they'd come to visit that day. And they'd brought their mother in their wheelchair. She'd been in a wheelchair for 20 years. That's quite a while to be in a wheelchair. Her name is Mrs. Lee. And she was sitting with her son-in-law and her daughter and in the back of the church. And I saw her I saw her being wheeled in. And I thought, oh God, give me a chance to pray for her today. Because you know, in our church, I'm getting out of practice. Because our people just believe that they can do the works Jesus did and greater works. So I don't get a chance to get anyone healed anymore. I'm actually getting quite angry about it. It's like frustrating. And I preach, and I'm ready, and we got that. And before I know it, Mrs. Lee's out the chair, and she's walking. And I wasn't there. And so the next week, Mrs. Lee walks into church, and she's in another 2 weeks, she's walking around very proud of herself. So a family, the Wong family, Mrs. Wong and the Wong family, saw their friend Mrs. Lee, who'd been walking. And they'd seen her in a wheelchair for 20 years. And the church, the Wong family, went to, it was a very Wong church, because many churches in Hong Kong are anti the supernatural and preach against the moving of the Spirit and call it the devil, and God doesn't do it. It's a sad thing, but it's a bit of what the British left. But anyway, let's just move on quickly. But the lines were okay. But anyway, what the dickens was Mr. Dickens doing? But anyway, let's just move on very quickly. And so they said, 20 years out of wheelchair, we've got to go to this church. So they came to the service. They sat at the right hand of my back while I'm preaching. At the end of the service, the power of God falls. And one of our Chinese ladies and one of our South African chicks, pray for her, the visitor who can't lift her arms beyond this. Next minute, she's lifting her arms, clapping. She couldn't hardly see. Now she can see all the numbers and all the letters on this overhead screens. Now she's clapping and she's shouting. So there's nothing wrong with that. I tell you what, we got... We got a lot of leeway, and it's just, and the thing is just opening up. It is opening up, and I don't know. Some people want to give all their church growth ways in to do it in New York and all of this. I want to say, listen, try all of that in Tokyo, or come to Hong Kong, try that. Go to Beijing and try all your church growth techniques. You know, I find it so ridiculous. You know, imagine trying to tell the Book of Acts church how to use these modern, culturally relevant, entertaining type services that relate to the Mosaic regeneration and then the baby boom, and we've got to have this, you know. Try that in Acts 5. They were under a hostile environment. They were seen as a cult. They were hated. They wanted to kill them. The only hope they had was to produce the power of signs, wonders, and of miracles. And that's why, that's the only way Chinese people come to our church, because the pastor can't speak Cantonese or Mandarin, and I don't understand. But only one language, the power of God. I don't know why we thought there was an option. There is no other way but signs and wonders and miracles. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But if we turn the church into a pastoral camp where pastors are nothing more than diplomats trying to keep every member happy, all you've got is calm, conservative centers that are self-centered. Can you say amen?
Amen?
So let the apostles and prophets rise up and reproduce robust, radical, biblical kingdom of heaven sons and daughters. Come on now. We were down the coast, or we were up the coast last Sunday in the most wonderful service, preaching it to Anthony and Leslie's church with all the people there. We felt like fathers, we felt like mother, we felt like lovers, we felt we were being loved, because the people know we love Anthony and Leslie, they love Glenda and me. It's not institution, it's just, that's it. And going down the south coast and Wayno's and Jenny's place, just packed out, people drove for hours, just packed out again. Wayno just getting up and honoring Glenda and me, it's just moving stuff, you know, just feel like, oh, this is organic life, this is relationship. You know, and right at the end there, I said, "All right, let's do this thing. Everyone with one leg shorter than the other. I know it's like an easy thing, but let's just do it, because Bonnie felt that in her heart. So we just said, short legs come out. I mean, like, no, I mean one shorter than the other. Short legs was already up at the front talking." So Wayno, where are you, Wayno? How many do you think came out? About 20 people came to the front, eh? 30, okay. 30, going once. Alright, let's take average, 25. Came to the front. And now they all think, now the guru is going to pray for them. No, I'm out of practice. So we called two to each person. And you should have seen it. I mean, it's just people clapping. His legs went zip. And the SMSs you got the next morning was the biggest thrill to me. People saying, "I've never seen a leg grow, but I never thought it would ever happen in my hands, but I saw it." Now friends, that's the joy. And equipping ministry, by definition, has to have the total absence of self-promotion. Because you're there to promote people beyond you. So if you're on an ego trip and you need your ego stroked, this is terrible. The one that had the right to self-promote did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, of no reputation, humbled himself, and took on the form of a man. And he, who could have self-promoted, looked at the crowd in John 14 and he says, "You guys, you that believe in me, greater miracles than me will you do." That's not self-promotion. That's promoting you. That's promoting us. Jesus wants to promote us. Can you say amen? All right, so I've waffled a lot. Are you okay with the waffle? Are you still here? Nothing wrong with it. How's the theology in the waffle? Is that okay? I've heard these two. So these two are brilliant. Are Finney and Izzy's. But they're at the back. I can't promote other people's stuff very good. But I'll try. This one's brilliant. And Izzy's new one that you played today. This one here. This is the latest one. So these are available. You know, I'm always a bit embarrassed about doing this. But really, if something's worth getting a hold of because it can equip and help, it's worth letting people know it's available. So these are here. They're at the back. Finney and Izzy can tell a little bit more about this latest one because I haven't actually heard it yet. But I listen regularly to these two and often use this one just to be when I'm alone with God. This is a beautiful one. About wherever I am in your heart. Beautiful. I wasn't singing to Finney, okay. Although I am in his heart. Isn't it wonderful to see Finney and Izzy up on the platform again? We've done 3 Glory and Grace conferences, 2 in Sydney, 1 in Sydney, 2 in Hong Kong. We're about to do one in Amsterdam soon. And every time we've just, there's something about the synergy of the years, the distilled essence of the riches of our friendship. It just, we're so different and yet we're so close. And so we just catalyze different things. And by the end of these 4 days, you will not know if you're coming or going, but you will know that you are so full of the presence of God. This is a CD which I'm very proud of, because I didn't do it, but Bonnie, our daughter, did it. So this was done with Jordan's help. He did the music, and it's just very funky, but it's also soaking type praise and worship, real intimacy with God. Where are you, Bonnie? Bonnie, stand up, Bonnie. This is another one Bonnie did, which the City Church International Worship Team. This is a book by my son, Sanctification by Grace, Ryan Rufus. He also has a book called Does a Christian Have a Sin Nature, which he teaches clearly we don't. And then this book I've written is called Invading the Impossible. I would really like this book even if I hadn't have written it, because... No, this is the distilled essence of what God spoke to me in the Berg 7 years ago when I went to the Father, because we had seen people come out of wheelchairs in Australia and different parts, and even here in South Africa when we led in Pantan, but it was too far and in between. And most of it was preceded by lots of fasting and praying and waiting on God and getting into bad moods and being irritable in the home so that you can be so intense on God, and then you come out and deliver a miracle and then go, and then for a few months you're so exhausted. Because that's the fading glory. That's the old covenant, you see. Where you can only temporarily access the glory, like it's this far reaching place that you've got to get there through your stern, Spartan like good behavior. Pray 2 hours a day in tongues, fast, and then you get in there, oh, I got the anointing, oh, I got it, quickly rush out, have a me, get a few people healed, oh, I'm so exhausted now, I've got to, now 3 months. You cannot live like that. That's old covenant. That's a fading glory. And so eventually I said, okay, God, we got on national television with a woman out of a wheelchair in Australia. But Lord, it's too far between. How many of you believe miracles are too far between? They should happen every day. And I was up in the Berg here, near Nottingham, 7 years ago, still living in Australia on a visit. And I said, Father, what's the secret of your power? I want to see your power every day. So I said, is it fasting? He said, son, fasting's good, but it's not fasting. That doesn't produce the power. So I said, well, Lord, is it praying, long hours? He said, no, son, praying's good, but praying doesn't produce the power. I said, well, what produces the power then? He said, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I have to tell you with embarrassment, I didn't know what he was talking about. Because like most Christians, I thought, the gospel? Well, the gospel, we just preach that to the lost. This just means your sins are forgiven. He said, son, You've got no idea. And he said, multiple billions of people on the planet, including the majority of my church, haven't got a clue what the gospel is that Paul preached. They've got an inadequate and some even a very false evangelical gospel. And he says, you know what the major problem in my church world today is? Not wrong wineskins. It's not a lack of apostles. It's not a lack of prophets. It's a lack of gospel. He said, son, you don't need more power. You need more gospel. And he said, I'll tell you about what this means. And over the last 7 years, especially the last 5 years in Hong Kong, he began to show me how to invade the impossible without sweating. Look, it's got some downsides. You just have a little bit of a book. But anyway, if I can be so arrogant as to self-promote, let me just read the back pager. Invading the impossible. Are you ready for a new disposition? An extreme makeover? Are you aware that there are divine dimensions of dream dilations available and accessible for you? Are you tired of being dwarfed, depleted? Sounds like a TV ad, eh? Sounds like I'm selling washing powder. Are you tired of being dwarfed, depleted, diminished and defined by debilitating disappointments? Are you finally finished with reducing, restraining regrets that haunt you with hollow memories and suffocate hope for your future like a damp sack? Do you desire to topple and overthrow the government of illegitimate religious control off your life and others in order to see condemnation and the fear of man fully fade away? Do you want to know the secret for effortless miracles? Are you tired of fasting and striving to gain God's power? Is there a realm of glory that never fades from your life because of the beauty of grace? Yes. Is the new covenant of our great high priest Jesus infinitely better than the law of Moses? Yes. Is the good news of the gospel extravagantly, excessively, and embarrassingly better than what most people had the courage to tell you? Yes. 1,000 times yes. If these questions stir a resonating reality in your heart, then this book is definitely for you. Read it with expectation, for it contains sacred, sanctified, supernatural faith steroids that will give you unfair advantages in life. Get ready, your time has come. And let me just read you the chapter headings. Then I'll give special price for that. No. Enjoying the benefits of the resurrection power of Jesus. How to enjoy them. How do you do that? How do you enjoy the benefits? Well, practically, we'll show you how. The design is original. The revolution has begun. Overthrowing the spirit of religious control. Lifting the limitations. A mirror mentality versus a window view. No regrets. Dealing with disappointment. Authority to invade. Invading by reigning. Let God impress you. He wants his book. I can't give these other people's stuff away because they might not want me to. But anyway, have we got a little bit of time left in the session? All right, just turn in your Bibles to wherever you feel like at the moment. Oh, we also got the Glory and Grace musical that's in the back there. Musical, yeah. I do a bit of. It's a musical. Did you see when Izzy came up here to dance? She was stealing choreography of my Glory and Grace dance routine that I did in Hong Kong. And she didn't get the pas de chaise really right. It goes more like this. Have you ever been in a Sunday morning worship meeting where worship leaders are doing a good job and the presence of God's coming in there, but everyone looks bland and sterile and indifferent? Have you ever just wanted to kick chairs over? Have you ever just wanted to run to the front as men who can't dance and try? And just break something of that conservative, formalistic, religious control spirit that's over the meeting? No. Okay, just so that you know what the rules are here. The rules are here, there are no rules. Except one thing is you're not allowed to be unhappy. Have you been in places where if you get too happy, they send the deacons?
If you get very excessively happy, disgustingly, embarrassingly happy, there'll be no deacons coming to control you. If you're demonized with depression and unhappiness, then the deacons will come to deliver you and set you free. But we are not going to jump. No, sorry, we won't do that. We just told people at Glory and Grace, Hong Kong and Sydney, this is a place where, this is Zion, the joy of the whole earth. The most depressing place on the planet on a Sunday morning is church. And that's not a lie. Because if you put people under the law, if I was a secular psychiatrist, I would sue religion for the psychological damage it's done by mixing law and grace. People are saying, look, John Lennon wrote, listen, imagine a world where there is no religion. How happy it would be. Now, he's not understanding that he doesn't understand the gospel of grace. 98% of the church, if not more, mixes law and grace. And under that law, you will lose your salvation.
Pastor, I've lost the joy of my salvation.
Have you been confessing all your sins?
No.
Have you been praying an hour a day?
No.
Have you been reading your Bible an hour a day?
No.
Have you led anyone to Christ?
No. Pastor, I know now why I've lost the joy of my salvation.
And they go and get now what caused them to lose the joy, trying to do all those things. Now they go and make a double effort to try to get their joy back. When Colossians chapter 2 verse 6 says, as you receive Christ, so walk in Him. How did you receive Him? Free grace. He accepts me. He loves me now unconditionally. No matter what I do wrong, His love for me will never change. He just enjoys me all the time. Then we add a thing called sanctification. And if we get time, we'll look at what sanctification is. It is the heresy called sanctification being taught in the church world today is the big lever the devil's using to cause bondage and condemnation on God's people. Come on now. And the idea of sanctification, I've got to pray more, I've got to try harder, I've got to do more, I've got to do more. And that puts us on that treadmill of performance pressure and we lose the joy of our salvation. And the religious leader's answer is try harder to get your joy back. Don't try at all. Just as you receive Christ, so walk in Him. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-day. I tell you, the world's going to get a shock at how happy Christians are going to become. Thank God for laughing revivals. But why should we have laughing revivals? Let's have laughing lives. Let's have joy for Christians. Look how much Paul talks about joy in the book of Philippians. He's writing from jail and prisons and beating joy. You know what the joy is? It's the revelation of the gospel. The joy of our salvation. Folks, people that don't see miracles, signs and wonders often just say that they've been realists, that they've just been real. And that's true, but they're anchored in an inferior reality. Those that do see miracles, those that do have faith, they're also realists. They're simply anchored in a superior reality. And as Bill Johnson says, once you've been exposed to miracles, you have given up the right to argue and reason like a mere natural man anchored in an inferior reality. Once you've been exposed to signs, wonders and miracles, God expects you to see problems as an invitation for heaven's solutions to break into the earth. Once you see the true working of the living God, it's meant to purify the lenses by which you look at reality. And there are too many sons and daughters of God who have got new covenant lenses on, but with a lot of old covenant scratches. And they boldly and confidently brag about, I'm in the new covenant and I believe the new covenant. But wherever they look, the scratches distort their reality. And all they see is condemnation, wrath and judgment and divine disapproval and fear. Most Christians are living with at least a low-grade condemnation. A low-grade feeling, I'm just not measuring up. Because they've got scratches of old covenant thinking on their new covenant lenses. And the preaching, apostolic, prophetic preaching and teaching is meant to take those scratches off so we can see the superior reality that you are in Christ Jesus. And that your mind can be renewed to that. So what's on the inside of you can come out on the outside of you. So you no longer conform to the pattern of this world. Well, oh, the pattern of this world, that's pornography, that's sin, that's doing all those things. Well, we're not into that and we don't want to be into that. But that's not the issue. The pattern of this world, Paul, when he speaks about this world, he's not talking about going to movies, having a glass of wine, doing this, doing that, that people may say sinful or not sinful. The pattern of this world, the world, is that which is governed by Satan. The God of this world has temporarily gained illegitimate authority from first Adam. But for 2,000 years, the Satan has no longer got any authority because on the cross Christ cancelled the rules and the regulations. He disarmed the powers and authority, and he disarmed and cancelled first Adam's authority. And when he rose from the dead, he said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Now you go and topple an illegitimate government that is illegal. And you heal the sick and raise the dead and open the blind eyes and cause the cripples to walk. And the church withdraws into camps of fasting and spiritual warfare, and let's bind the territorial spirits. Sorry, they're bound already and they are disarmed and they are triumphed over at the cross. Oh, let's open the heavens. Let's get the heavens open over Pantan. For goodness sake, it's not an issue of open heavens. When Christ died, when Christ went to the water baptism, why would the Son of God, who is perfectly righteous, need to submit to John's baptism, which is a baptism of repentance from sin? But he submitted to a baptism of repentance from sin, not for his sin, but on behalf of the world. And he repented for us. And when he came out the water, said the windows of heaven was open. And when he went to the cross, he clarified, confirmed, these windows are open forever. It's not a matter of open heavens over Pantan. It's a matter of closed heads. It's unrenewed heads that have got scratches on their lenses and old covenant law thinking, all mixed up. Friends, I'd rather churches just preach the law. Because then everyone would know. It's the seductive, alluring power of witchcraft is to mix a bit of law and a bit of grace together. And then the law disguises itself as grace in the most hideous way. And then people go, well, if you're really under grace, you should stop that behavior. Because the grace of God teaches you to say no to ungodliness. Now, how many of you learned from your teacher's school the first time they taught you? He's teaching you. Thank God I didn't say that law teaches us. It said beauty of grace teaches you. The tragedy of Michael Jackson is Michael Jackson was never allowed to have a childhood. The tragedy of Christians in the world today, they were never allowed to enjoy and plummet the depths of the height, the length and the breadth of the love of Christ, the finished work of the cross, justification, I'm righteous forever. They weren't allowed to camp there long enough. Alright, you got that? Let's move on to sanctification now. Come on, stop that. And then, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. Listen, friends, we've got a new creation nature. And you take all the have-tos off the new creation nature, a whole lot of want-tos will jump up in the new creation nature. I get worried about people saying, well, that city's got a portal of glory open. Oh, you mean Jesus died in that city? You mean His blood was shed and that's why the portal's there? Yeah, we've got to go there, because if you go there, you'll get more diamonds and oil and, you know, gold dropping out the sky. I know guys who even went into Israel, and they went to where Bethel, where Jacob fell asleep in the stairway to heaven. Angels ascending and descending. And they went there, and they lay there, because this is an open portal. Come on now, man. The heavens are open across the globe. This wasn't a small little cross. This is one something pathetic, little finite. This was not Buddha dying on the cross. Buddha had a sinning father. This was someone who had a virgin mother and overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, who didn't have the sin nature of first Adam. He wasn't born under the law. He was born through a woman. The woman was born under the law so he could redeem us who were under the law to give us the full rights of sons, Galatians 4 says. So when he went to the cross, it had cosmic consequences that sums up all of history and reverses entirely how God relates to the planet. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting men's sins against them. Friends, when God's not counting your sins against you, it means He's relating to you through an open heaven, and your sins won't close the heavens. But if you're under law, you'll have a closed mind because you'll think God doesn't want to be with me anymore. I've just done a puffy thing. I've just sinned. I've just done something horrible. Nah, I've got to go through old covenant sackcloth ashes, confess every sin. I hope I haven't left one out. You'd sin this morning. Romans 14. I'll tell you why I know, Finney. Because Romans 14. I saw you. This sin will come on to roost. Yes, your sin will find you out. It will come on. Listen, our sin did come on to roost on the innocent, immaculate head of the Son of God. It was imputed to him. Romans 14:23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So everything you do without faith, you're sinning. There is only one sin under the old covenant, and it's called unbelief. Sorry, under the new covenant. Under the old covenant, sin was breaking the law. Under the new covenant, you're not under the law. There's only one sin. It's called unbelief in the gospel of grace. We're not there yet. I know you're not ready to hear that, but Romans 4 says, and Romans 5 says, where there is no law, there is no sin. Now, if you believe the law has been completely cancelled and removed from your life, there's no exterior criteria to measure whether you're measuring up. It says in Colossians 2:9, you were made complete in Christ. He measured up for you. He didn't come to take away the law. He came to fulfill the law. The law is fulfilled, and you are in Him who fulfilled the law. And through the law, you died to the law, and you died with Christ, and you were co-buried with Christ, and you were co-united with Christ in His resurrection, and you were co-ascended with Christ, and you are co-seated with Christ, and you are co-equal heir with Christ. So to not believe in the finished work of the cross, that is sin. And if you look in John 14, the only sin the Holy Spirit convicts of, He does not convict the world of sins, sinning. He convicts the world of sin, because they do not believe on Me. Then the righteousness He convicts us on is because He's gone to the Father, and at the right hand is our great high priest at the Father. He has declared us righteous forever, and the Holy Spirit is reminding us that we are righteous in Christ Jesus. And the next verse He said, and judgment because the prince of this world, Satan, has been condemned. We're at the cross. So the Holy Spirit is convicting you and me and the world when we do not believe in Jesus Christ. And we are, when we're coming into condemnation, the Holy Spirit says, no, the devil's condemned, and you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the heavens are open all the time. All right, I don't want to get ahead of myself because people are going to get very frightened here. But anyway. The gospel. The word contraception is derived from the word concept. So, if you have inadequate new covenant concepts, it will work as a contraception to stop that conception of miracles. It's like if you've got an inadequate view of the new covenant, you've got built-in contraception to your relationship with God that will enable you to play safe intimacy with God. Or in the natural safe sex. You can have as much sex as you want with contraception. You'll never have the responsibility of impregnation. There's only two women mentioned in the book of Revelation 17. It's the harlot whore of Babylon and the beautiful glorious bride. The harlot whore represents religion that is more interested in self-gratification without responsibility to carry miracles. But when we get a true new covenant revelation and true new covenant conception, there's no more contraception to the miraculous of God through intimacy with God, and any believer can open the blind eyes, raise the dead, and see the sick healed and the cripples walk. Can you say amen? Amen. Why don't you go to Romans chapter 1 quickly, please? The teaching of grace should open up more questions than it gives answers to. If you're sitting there going, yeah, but what about this? What about that? That's fine. That's good. Just write down the what abouts and then tick them off as we cover them over the next few days. In fact, sorry guys, we got about 5 minutes to. It's not like we're going to stick strictly to these timings, but it just feels it would be. I know you'd be surprised if we did, didn't you? Well, we're going to break at 11. It's 5:02, so I don't want. I'm not going to even open up Romans 1 at the moment. I just want to say some closing thoughts on this session, and then we'll go for half an hour tea break. And I just want you that have come here that need miracles in your bodies to don't prescribe to God how He does it. Just be ready, be open, just get ready for God to do it. The greatest miracles for me is when the glory just comes, manifests, and people just healed in their chairs. And laying on of hands, that's wonderful, we'll do that. But let's, you know, many times people, as they're listening to the Word of God, to the sound of faith, to the sound of freedom, liberation from condemnation, often that itself can cause healing to happen in your body. But it's very important that we get these concepts removed so we can have intimacy with the Lord, so the seed of heaven can produce the miracles, because there's no contraception, because we've got erroneous new covenant concepts. The other place that DNA is most strong in a man is in his saliva. And where Jesus spat and rubbed spit into a man's eyes, He opened that man's eyes to a new dimension of seeing. And there is the divine saliva, if I can sound crude. I don't mind. God spit on my eyes to open them. Take the scratches of that old covenant that's so propaganda, the conditioning, the years of reinforcing these default settings towards trying to make God happy when He is already so happy through what Christ did on our behalf. Understanding is the most important thing for preachers to understand. Jesus said that the devil cannot steal the word from someone's heart if the teaching comes with understanding. If we do not understand, Paul says in Ephesians 1, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation be given to you, etc., etc. Then he says that the eyes of your understanding be opened. If the eyes of your understanding aren't opened by the supernatural of God, you can hear the greatest preaching on the planet and you won't change. Because it's only once your eyes are open. I can take the greatest beautiful pictures and hold them in front of a blind person and go, and they're just there. No impression. I've gone to places where I've preached some of the greatest preachers, and it's like, because their eyes are closed. You've got to understand. People sit in church and say, I just want a miracle, but I don't want to listen to preaching. No, you've got to understand. Come on. Understand means you perceive the significance of something. If you don't understand grace, you won't see the significance of grace. You will just think grace is a cute, comforting little doctrine that you will patronize. Oh, I preach grace. Yeah, you must hear how much grace they're preaching. There's more law on that than grace. Switch on Christian television. Not trying to be critical. I respect and honor all preachers. Switch it off. Can't watch. I can't. Having got free from the law, I cannot listen to a mixture of law and grace. Very dangerous. Friends, please understand this. That if Christ, and He did, cancelled the law at the cross. Colossians 2. Can you all say amen? So He cancelled that. Hebrews says that whole old covenant now is obsolete. It's redundant. It's gone. Now, when God cancels something, and you keep preaching what He's cancelled, the Holy Spirit's not empowering what you're preaching. What's empowering what you're preaching? Devils. Identify those devils. Very easy from Galatians 3:1. You foolish, senseless, unreflecting, idiotic Galatians. That's the Greek there. Who has bewitched you? That word bewitched means occultic power has blinded your eyes. If you preach what Christ has cancelled at the cross, and you mix it in with grace,
The Holy Spirit is not empowering your preaching. You're feeling an anointing, but it's an anointing of witchcraft. And the church is full in many places, if not most places, with the spirit of witchcraft. No, it's not women riding in on a broom. It is the preaching of something that Christ, through the blood and guts of the cross, has cancelled. And in the cancelling of the law, the powers and authorities have got nothing left to condemn you with. So they were disarmed. And when you preach the law to the church, you rearm a disarmed enemy, who then tells you you've got to fast and bombard the heavens with spiritual mapping to defeat them. And the church falls into that seduction. When Peter, James and John said to Jesus, "Let's call fire down on the Samaritans for not coming out." Elijah did that year. Elijah was under the law. You don't know. You're of the wrong spirit, boys. When the world's saying God killed the people in 9/11. And God killed the Muslims in the tsunamis. They're of the wrong spirit. God was in Christ, reconciling not the church, the world to Himself, not counting men's sins against them. The church is preaching by a witchcraft spirit. And we are not in a gentle reformation. We are in a violent theological revolution that is going to shake the church worldwide. And it is accelerating right now. Can you say amen? If you don't understand by revelation the significance of grace, you will say misleading and silly and super spiritual statements like this. Yes, grace is a wonderful little doctrine, but I prefer, and I preach a bit of grace, but I prefer to preach Jesus. Hallelujah. You foolish, unreflecting idiot. Grace is not a doctrine. Grace is a person. And when you preach grace, the person of Jesus manifests in signs and wonders and in miracles. John chapter 1 says, the law was given. That's impersonal. The law was given through Moses. Actually, it was mediated through angels. Do you know why angels rejoice in heaven when one sinner gets saved? Do you know when the angels came and announced to the shepherds, the gospel's coming, good news, goodwill to all men. Not to everyone that just behaves, to all men, goodwill to all men. And peace on earth. Not peace between us, but peace from heaven to individuals. Amen? We don't have peace on earth, but we have peace in heaven towards earth. Goodwill to all men. When the angel was announcing that, it said suddenly many heavenly creatures and angels appeared in glory, and the shepherds saw it. Why? Because the Bible says in Galatians 3 and other passages in Acts 7 that it was the angels that mediated the ministry of death, the law, through Moses. They knew what the law was going to do. And if I get a chance, I'll teach you that clearly from the Bible, it was never God's will to introduce the law once. I'll show you clearly. And that'll be an eye-opener to many. And those angels knew what unbelieving Israel, Galatians 3:12 says the law is not based on faith. That unbelieving Israel, then God had to give them something not based on faith, and ministry of death that would kill them. And the angels of joy knew what this ministry of death was going to do on our planet. So when they came and announced the law is going to be gone, goodwill on earth, peace from God, they all came in manifestation. Can you say amen? The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And from the fullness of His grace, we have received one blessing after another. How do you know you've made a full transition out of the law mentality into 100% grace? You don't have a confusing, crippling cocktail of law and grace all mixed together. Now you've left that toxic destructive cocktail of religion behind, and you've stepped into pure grace. From the fullness of His grace, we have received one blessing after another. How do you know you're in the fullness of grace? Oh, here comes another blessing. Let's try and run away from it. Oh, coming on me, overtaking me. Under Deuteronomy 28, if you fully keep the law, these blessings will come on you. But if you don't fully keep the law, these curses will come on you and overtake you. And Christians go, okay, we'll have that. They just said, no! Give us what you gave Abraham. See, the self-righteous arrogance, it says, okay, I'll earn the blessing by how much I do, how much I play, how holy I am, how much I don't sin. That self-righteous arrogance is eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan wanted Adam to eat from it, and he wants you and me to eat from it. Try to do good and try to avoid evil. That's the beggarly elements of this world. Our minds have to be renewed from the spirit of this world. Try to do good and avoid evil. Do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. That's the beggarly elements of this world. The principles of this age, Paul is talking about. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And how much of the church is in it? I know because I was right in it. And I was a brilliant preacher preaching that bondage for many years. For goodness sake, the throne room is made of the substance of grace. You don't want to preach grace? You want to preach Jesus? Well, don't preach about His throne room that He's sitting on, because it's called the throne room of grace. For those of us who are in Christ, the posture of God, the throne that He sits on, is made of grace. And the Spirit that comes out of that throne room is called the Spirit of Grace. Hebrews 10. And He says, you know, you guys that want to go and do the law stuff and the temple stuff and the blood of bulls and goats, you know what He says? You are offending the Spirit of Grace. You are trampling on the blood of Jesus. And then people go, oh, Hebrews 10, there, Rob's wrong. I'm telling you, I found out he's wrong. It says, after receiving a knowledge of the truth, if we deliberately keep on sinning, there's nothing left but raging wrath. Because those who trampled the blood of Jesus underfoot and offended the Spirit of grace. Friends, He didn't say anything about offending the Spirit of grace through generic sinning. The sin He's talking about is a specific sin, because He's just described the old covenant bondage, and by one sacrifice, Jesus has made us perfect forever. And then that's verse 14, then verse 15, and the Holy Spirit testifies that God will never remember our sins and our lawless deeds anymore. And then it says, and where this sacrifice has been made, there is no more need for any more sacrifices. And they heard Paul preach that, Stephen preached that, they killed Stephen for preaching it, because the temple was only destroyed 70 years after Christ. So they were hearing the gospel from Stephen and Paul and others, and still, though they had the knowledge of the truth, this community was going back to inferior shadow blood. Inferior. Jesus is the full substance of the sin offering, the burnt offering. He's the temple. He's the closure. He's the finality. Finished. Come on. And what He's saying, their sin that they're sinning is having a knowledge of the truth of the gospel of grace, but they are relying on a religious inferior shadow temple system. By going to the blood of bulls, they are trampling on the blood that of the virgin-born Son of God. Now, before Christ said, it's finished, the blood of bulls and goats could temporarily cover your sin to stop God killing you. But once Jesus said, it is finished, the blood of bulls and goats had no more power to temporarily cover you. And if you see the truth and you go into law and unto that very blood, He's saying, that is grieving the Spirit of grace, offending the Spirit of grace. The sin you're committing is treating the blood of bulls as more valuable than the blood of Jesus. You're trampling it underfoot. Folks, it's not time to, every time you hear about sin and God's angry and you finished, it is not time to just, oh yes, okay, default sitting. Okay, sackcloth and ashes, sackcloth and ashes. God says, why are you putting sackcloth and ashes? Well, Lord, I've sinned, I'm trying to repent. I said, well, that's old covenant, sackcloth. I know, but it's old covenant. It's gone. It's gone. The whole of Hebrews is about one sin. It's the sin of unbelief. Closing for the last time. It's preaching doesn't open the heavens, it opens people's heads. And when heads are open, then they realize, oh, the heavens are open.
And say, oh, the Lord, I don't feel His presence because I sinned. No, it's not His presence that you don't feel. It's your mind thinks, old covenant. So you think and you don't have faith for His presence. I just think preaching opens people's heads, opens, renews their minds. God didn't say remove your minds. He said renew your minds. When our minds are open to the truth and we're free, man, the glory of God's going to flood in this place and heal and do miracles and we're going to see signs and wonders. Can you say amen? So let me close with this. How do you discern the spirit of this world, be no longer conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what the perfect, acceptable will of God is? Now I can prove it's His will to heal all. Now I can prove it's His will to save all. Now I can prove what the will of God is. Because what's on the inside coming on the outside. Alright? How do I discern the spirit of this world, which is a religious spirit? Do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. And the spirit is from God. Alright, here's simple guideline. And is this the spirit of the world? Or is this the spirit from God? The spirit of grace. Alright, this is simple. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 7. We do speak a wisdom amongst the wise, but not the wisdom of this age. For the cross, I'm quoting directly now, for the cross was God's secret wisdom kept hidden for ages past that was destined for your glory before time began, and had the rulers of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For no man can conceive and no eye has seen and no ear has heard what God has prepared for those that love Him, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. For no one knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit within the man, and no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God, and we have not received the Spirit of this world, but we have received the Spirit from God, that we may know the things that God has freely given to us. How do you know the Spirit of God? He will tell you everything Father's giving to you through the finished work of the cross is all free. It isn't gained by, I've got to be good enough to get healed. I've got to do things to get blessed financially. No, the Spirit of God will show you the things that the Father has freely given you. The spirit of this world that people preach the law under, the spirit of witchcraft, will tell you all the things you've got to do to earn and deserve and improve yourself to get God to like you and enjoy you. But the spirit of grace from the throne room of grace is revealing to the church, opening the eyes of our understanding. We are the masters of a vast estate, Galatians 4 verse 1. We are no longer under trustees and under governors and under tutors. We are now have full rights as sons in Christ Jesus to walk in this earth as sons and daughters of God. Give the Lord a shout and a praise in this day. Hey! Let's stand together. Just close your eyes. Lift your hands if you want. Doesn't matter if you don't. We can lift your feet if you can. Father, we thank You so much that we live at the climax and the consummation of the ages. We're so grateful we weren't born in the dark ages. We thank You, Father, we're in a recovery time of restoration, revival, revolution, revelation. We have been revitalized. Spirit of truth, the Word and Spirit working together in mighty power. Confirm Your Word with signs following, O God. Freedom and deliverance in this place. I pray even now the anointing, the power of God that destroys yokes and lifts burdens would manifest on every person in this house. Anywhere there's a default setting towards condemnation or guilt or trying harder or striving or legalism. Lord God, we have been bullied by bigots or people that have, maybe in their misguided zeal, tried to get us to be more zealous, but they only drove us into a spirit of witchcraft. Lord, today, give us supernatural understanding to discern the difference between the spirit of this world and the spirit of God, who reveals to us the things that You've freely given to us in grace and by grace and by grace alone. Father, we pray for that anointing to manifest so violently against darkness, to manifest so violently against witchcraft spirits, demonic religious demons. We take authority in the name of Jesus of Nazareth against every religious demon of conservatism, formalism, Those demon spirits that said to Jesus, tell the people to be quiet, tell them to not throw these palm branches on the ground anymore, tell them to be silent. That demonic spirit that Jesus rebuked and said, if they don't cry out, the very rocks will cry out. Lord, we pray that conservative religious spirit be broken in Jesus' name of every man and woman in this place. In Jesus' name. And we worship you. And we thank you for it. Amen. Give Jesus a clap just for the hang of it. Just we're going to have half an hour break, so if we can be back at 2:30, quarter to